Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Ralph Danglemeyer, who is the CEO of BlueSnap. Ralph, thanks for joining me today. Again, it's so nice to talk to you.
Karen, it's great to talk to you, and as always, we're missing part of the Masters right now to have this phone call, so all the listeners can watch the Masters and then also hear our podcast.
Well, I think that sounds great. I know you're a big golfer, and this is important, so thanks for carving a few minutes away to chat about something I know you're very excited about, and that is the opportunities created by what they're calling subscription commerce in the business. And you're speaking at a conference that is dedicated to assembling the merchants that are interested in furthering that particular part of their business, which they say is growing, $5 billion in 2014, the last time numbers were reported, and I'm sure 2015 saw quite a spike. So let's get down to some of the basics. I was doing a little research on this, and it's obviously a huge industry. There's a site that assembles just the subscription commerce offerings for beauty and fitness, and there are 900 companies that offer one form or the other monthly box of goodies that someone can sign up for. What's driving the subscription commerce economy? Why are so many merchants interested in taking that on as a business practice?
Well, as you realize, there's a lot of companies doing this, and the real big reason is predictability and revenue, right? And so when they, especially small companies, when they take investment money, they want to have a predictive outcome. And if they can start to get people subscribed to some of their products, it makes it very easy to upsell and downsell. And I think also what's happening is the shopper is getting very comfortable in this model because of such a big successes of people like Netflix or Spotify. It's sort of, hey, I can afford a couple bucks a month to do this rather than having that one-time purchase of $80 or $100. So I think two ways are happening. The shoppers are comfortable this way, and the merchants want to have the predictable revenue as well.
So I think you make a good point. It is a very sticky model where you sign up once, and it's the recurring payment that goes on and on. And I think the point that you made about it's not just about a retailer, it's about lots of other businesses that want to incorporate this model into their offering. But how hard is it for merchants to adopt that application from a technical perspective? Is there a lot to it?
Well, that's a really good question, Karen. I think we got to drill into the details on this a little bit, because what we like to tell our customers, or our customers really understand, there's a big difference between what we're going to call a recurring payment versus a subscription. And we like to define those differently, because a recurring payment to me is you're going to buy the newspaper for $10 every month, or a magazine for $10 every month. There's really no upsell or downsell or change of subscriptions. I think when it becomes a subscription has so many different flavors. There's subscriptions where you can upsell or downsell. There's subscriptions where they might run you an offer for 3 months and then it goes to another price. There's promotions, coupons that come with subscriptions. There's what they call meter-based subscriptions, where I just bought a whole bunch of data, like the way Apple's doing some of their iCloud data, and then when I trip it, I pay something more per month. And it gets very complicated very quickly. So a merchant needs to understand what are his potential business models that he's going to be charging for, and then how to technically build it. And so the challenge we see is people build for one model, and then they don't have the ability to change as their products change or as the business changes.
Got it. So when I signed up for my little BarkBox, and it was $12.95 a month for my one dog, and I wanted to upsell and add the $6.95 little toy inside the BarkBox, what you just described was taking a recurring payment and giving it a little bit of an added lift, and that now becomes a subscription payment under your definition?
Well, the subscription payment would be that how seamlessly did you move from your $12 to your $18? Was that something where they credited you half a month? Was it a seamless transaction for you? And if it was, they treat it like a subscription, where if it's a recurring payment, then that technically is a very simple thing to do. A subscription technically is a lot harder for a merchant to try to do, because you have to build the technology with the consideration of all the options coming.
So I know that you're speaking at this conference with a company that is a large enterprise organization, Autodesk, and they are very well known in the business for their CAD software, among other things. What is their subscription management issue or solution that they're incorporating, and how are you involved in that?
So we're involved in Autodesk in a lot of ways, but what's very interesting about the subscription piece is Autodesk is going from downloadable software, which is their 30-year-old business model, to the ability to buy software in the cloud. And as they're doing that, they're saying, hey, we want to offer subscription models for some of our products, and we want to have the flexibility to be able to charge in multiple ways, packaging multiple products together, giving people discounts, giving people the right to use what they call metered, where they go over a certain amount, they pay more. So what they did is they went to Zuora to help solve some of those problems, working with us as the payment provider. So the three of us got together and provided, we think, the ultimate flexibility for Zuora to be able to globally go out now and effectively charge what they think the market needs in order for them to be successful with the product.
Got it. So part of this is having a platform that can enable this flexible pricing based on options, and I would imagine also demand.
Yeah, options, demand, payment types, different types of promotions and coupons they might be running in certain markets at one time that you don't want applicable in other markets. So trying to think of all the permutations that are going to happen as you go out and globally sell. You may not think of them all at the time, but if you build your infrastructure in a way that it's very flexible and dynamic, then you can deal with the marketing requests as they come along.
One of the things that I know on the consumer side people often complain about with the subscription or recurring payment model is how to stop it. It's not always easy to do, and that creates problems for merchants and consumers at some point. Are those issues the same on the enterprise side?
Yeah, they're a little less on the enterprise side, but those are big issues. And I think the card schemes and some of the processors really frown a little bit on free trials with merchants, because they feel like the shopper is unaware that the free trial has expired, and then they call up and cancel. And you're right, they have a hard time canceling. So merchants sometimes don't know all the rules. They have to have a very easy spot on the website for a shopper to come in and be able to cancel, because if not, they're going to call their card and say, I didn't really authorize this charge, and they don't realize they really did by clicking the boxes through. They didn't realize what happened, and that's something that is sort of looked at as a big improvement that merchants could make as they're offering these types of subscriptions to shoppers.
And do you account for that in your platform at all? I mean, are there things that you do to make the end user, or make it a little bit more apparent to the end user as to how to stop or adjust the subscription or recurring payment service?
Yeah, we do. But what we really try to do is provide the merchant with guidelines that say, look, as you're running your subscription programs, just mind the rules. These are things that you gotta sort of make sure that you have clearly on your website that shoppers are signing up, and clearly able to identify if they want to add or cancel one of the programs. So it's very, very easy to do. And then we give them examples of some websites that we think do it really well.
So who does it really well, in your view?
Well, I personally use AT&T, and I think they've got a really easy app where you can go in and add and subtract services to whatever you're doing on a monthly basis. There's someone that's really well. I think Netflix does it really, really well. Spotify does it really, really well. These are examples of companies that if everybody operated like that, I think it would be a lot easier.
So final question, where do you see the subscription commerce market going? It sounds like there are many opportunities for new players to come in and adapt their model to that right off the bat. But it also sounds like there are a lot of existing companies that are moving from one model to another. It sounds like there's a great runway for this to grow even more.
There is, and I can't remember the exact growth rates on the model. I can tell you that we're seeing 50% growth year over year with our subscription sales within our base. And that's a combination of the current subscriptions growing, but also people adopting the model. And everywhere I turn around, it seems like every merchant's trying to figure out some way to add a subscription to their product line. Even historically, my God, they've never done it. So it's a real important feature that people need to have. And it's just exciting to see something like Zora have a conference that's just targeted after clients that are doing it. I've been told that there's about 1,500 merchants coming to the conference, and it's got a great name. It's called Subscribe. And we're also
that's
learning
awesome.
About the best way of doing things, but at a place called Subscribe. So that's what we're doing next week. We're looking forward to it, and it should be an exciting show.
That's great. Well, listen, Ralph, always great to catch up with you. Thanks for your views on subscription commerce and the opportunities that it presents merchants and businesses who just view it as an interesting model to adopt. Thanks very much.